Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. So I'd planned to say that this episode is actually on time, but that would no longer be a true statement, would it? See, I sat down the other day ready to podcast, ready to pour my heart and soul into this microphone, makeup ready, hair ready, lights, camera, action, and then my computer, my brand new fucking computer, said that it was out of storage and had no more room for me to record an episode. I was like, what the heck is going on? Is this some remnant or after effect of Mercury in retrograde? The silver lining here is that I didn't freak out and I sprung into action. I took my computer to the You Break I Fix store, which is a genius name. They couldn't really do anything and they told me to go to the Apple store. Well, I tried to make an appointment at the Genius Bar, but apparently you aren't allowed to make appointments there for just anything anymore, and I didn't want to talk to anyone on the phone. So I decided that the quickest way to me getting back to podcasting was to get an external hard drive and to free up some room on my computer. I did that yesterday, and here we are. Welcome, everyone. You know, I've been really hard on myself about getting these podcast episodes out. This is episode 34. I started in September and I haven't missed a week. Now, I've been late, but I haven't missed a week. And I didn't realize that getting to this point was such an accomplishment until I met up with a friend and his wife when they came into town a few weeks ago. And I was talking to them about the podcast and they were like, I can't believe you kept up with it. Something like, most podcasters don't make it past a certain episode. And I was like, damn, I am doing something here. So when I got home, I decided to look up the stats on people who start podcasts. Now, I haven't verified these numbers, but this is the stat that I read. 90% of podcasters don't get past episode 3. Of that remaining 10%, 90% don't make it past episode 21. How y'all like that? So even if I'm late, I'm still fucking kicking ass. And I don't have any plans of stopping, so let's fucking go. I am thrilled to announce that a bitch launched a brand. Last episode, I told you that I finally launched my brand, LP Rich, and I am very, very excited. Please go and follow the LP Rich account on Instagram. The username is LP Rich Bitch. See what I did there? LP Rich is a high-end apparel and accessories brand for the cannabis connoisseur. And I like to describe the concept as it's like Rihanna and Elizabeth Taylor had a baby. So this was a long time in the making. I came up with this concept and idea about 2 years ago. I can't remember if I've told you all this story before. My daughter says that I repeat stories, so pardon me if I've already told you this story. But I used to not like weed at all. I had tried it like 4 times in my life up until 2021. And every time I had tried it, I was drinking. And honestly, I either got sick or had the spins real bad. So I always had this perception in my head that weed just wasn't for me. Well, in 2021, I was living in Louisiana at the time. And in a rare progressive move, Louisiana legalized medical marijuana. At the time, I was having chronic hip pain that would cause me to wake up in the middle of the night. So I was seeking help with that because I knew that weed made you sleepy. So I got the prescription from my doctor, went to the dispensary, and was very happy because I was finally sleeping through the night without waking up. And y'all know I like to prioritize my sleep. Well, I was excited that I was having such a positive response to the medical cannabis. at the time I was planning a wedding, so I wasn't really going out all that often. So I was really enjoying my medical cannabis at home, and I loved it. Another unintended benefit was that I stopped drinking on a regular basis. I didn't realize it up until that point, but drinking alcohol was kind of messing me up more than it was helping. It affected my sleep, it affected my anxiety, it affected my skin and my appearance. Even though I was staying in, I didn't want to look like I was staying in. I wanted to wear something luxurious and chic while I enjoyed my little flower hour. I wanted to have cannabis accessories that looked like they could be in a fashion magazine. So it's like they could almost be displayed in your house like art instead of like tucking them away and hiding them from people. So I took my happy ass to Google to elevate my experience, and I couldn't find shit. There was very little available on the market at this time for the specific aesthetic that I was looking for. I was like, damn, this is crazy. Cannabis is making all kinds of progress across the country. Even Mississippi has medical cannabis. Cut to 2024, and Florida citizens in November will vote on a measure to legalize recreational cannabis. It's all happening. But back in 2021, it didn't feel like the products that go along with cannabis had really made all that much progress. Weed changed my life for the better, truly, in a very real way. The benefits have far exceeded my expectations. Apart from the fact that I was finally able to sleep through the night, I also had this inner dialogue suddenly reawaken after years and years of silence. And that bitch was hilarious. I also really started to cherish my little flower hour. It was my time to check in with myself, to relax, to shut out all the bullshit from the world, even just for a little while. It became the ultimate me time. Then I started getting ideas for products that I would like and started to imagine what I could create. And at the exact same time, I really started to hate my job. So I decided that I would create something for myself. I would create a life for myself. But I had no idea what I was doing. Still don't, if I'm being totally honest. But I've also come to realize that no one knows what they're doing. We are all just taking life day by day. I had a lot of doubt in the beginning about going into anything related to cannabis, and I was very fearful of being judged by other people because I think there is such a stigma attached to cannabis. Quite frankly, I think this podcast and promoting it on social media helped me get out of my head and into action. It's like the ultimate accountability. I'm telling y'all on the airwaves what I'm doing, and so I'm just like, I kind of have to follow through. And while the first product has not been officially announced, I can tell you that it is in the apparel category. I really want to tell y'all about it, but I have to wait just a little bit, but in due time. And that is how LP Rich was created, y'all. It's LP Rich, bitch. That was supposed to be like, it's Britney, bitch. So please go follow the LP Rich page at LP Rich, bitch. You know, posting on Instagram, like in any kind of way about cannabis, is sort of like walking through a minefield. Because the rules on Instagram keep changing on how businesses can advertise products that are related to cannabis. Like, it was my understanding from my social media class that I've taken and from just observing other companies in the same situation that you're not allowed to say the word cannabis or any derivative of it or any kind of code word for it unless it's used for educational purposes. See, I had the word cannabis in my brand announcement video. You can go watch it. It's on my page at LP Rich Bitch. And I was literally stressing out for hours on how I could handle posting the word cannabis. Eventually, I decided that I would put an asterisk in the word to be safe, but obviously that takes away from the overall aesthetic. But my thought process was that I would be real pissed if I spent all that time creating the launch video and then Instagram flagged it because it was against community guidelines. And then no one would see it and I would have a pissy first day of a brand launch. but that didn't happen because I played it a bit safe. Instagram is very testy, but I think it might be getting better. If there is a cannabis algorithm out there, I am definitely in it. I'm excited about this because it helps me see what other companies are doing in terms of marketing on social media. Well, a few days after my brand launch, I was retargeted with another apparel company that also sells cannabis-related products. And this was a paid sponsored ad that this company was promoting. And it was a post and it had a t-shirt in the middle with like some funky artsy pink photographs collaged in the background. And the shirt said, "Smoke blunt, serve cunt." Not one word bleeped out. See, up until, I guess now, you definitely weren't allowed to say blunt. And I didn't think it was ever okay to say cunt, but here we are. So I'm going to have to rethink my whole marketing strategy now. Okay, I think I put the spending audit off long enough. Now that we have done the spending audit and we know the ugly truth, it is time to build your budget. The book provides four different types of budgets: the 50-30-20 budgeting, zero-based budgeting, reverse budgeting, and half-payment budgeting. The favorite method in the book is the 50-30-20 method, and it's honestly pretty simple to follow. 50% of your budget goes to needs, 30% goes to wants, and 20% goes to saving, investing, and/or debt. With zero-based budgeting, you take the total amount of money you have to spend and start assigning it to your expenses. Every dollar is assigned to a specific task. And after you're done allocating, your income minus your expenses should be zero. I think this is the same method that Dave Ramsey recommends, but I could be wrong about that. The third budgeting method is reverse budgeting. Here, you allocate a chunk of your money into savings and investments before making any other spending decision. And that's basically it. The final method is the half payment budgeting method. This is particularly helpful if you get paid twice a month. Essentially, you split the cost of your bills in half, and your first paycheck of the month covers one half of your expenses, and the second paycheck covers the other half. I used this method when I was first starting out in my career, and I found it very effective. So I am going to do the 50-30-20 method. Y'all, I am so determined to get educated on this shit. You know, I had a realization the other day. I've said before that lawyers aren't really compensated adequately. Don't get me wrong, my first job was basically robbing me, but the other ones were financially better. And they kept getting better the more I advanced in my career. And I kept thinking to myself, then why the hell did I feel so tight with my money? First off, whenever I was first filling out, you know, the tax forms, I didn't know what I was doing with deductions, and I had no idea what I was doing with 401ks or really any financial vehicle, and there really wasn't anyone who explained it. So I was just kind of picking something just for the sake of picking. Like, had no clue. Still really don't. But I do know that there are more tips and tricks you can use to your advantage to help make the most out of your paycheck. But secondly, and probably the major reason that I felt a pinch, I had a very expensive child. I don't want to alarm the parents out there, but you need to prepare yourself financially, mentally, spiritually. These kids only get more expensive with age. You think they are expensive now with their toys and their extracurriculars? Just wait to the teenage years, especially with girls. They want makeup, they want skincare. They want their hair colored blue only to have it be washed out after a lice check at camp. Oh man, that's a story. Okay, so another thing that your kids are going to need is somewhere to go in the summer, and you're likely going to have to do summer camps. Cha-ching! And if they do a sleepaway Jewish camp like mine did, although she had a wonderful experience, you're going to be feeling that in your checking account. My point in saying this is that we need to get our shit together because between kids and inflation, we're gonna need to save some money, honey. Every year, my Christmas bonus went to pay for summer camp. 2021 was the first year that I spent a portion of my bonus on myself. So it really wasn't accurate to say that attorneys generally aren't compensated well, because they are, but they are if they don't have any kids. Anywho, should I tell the story about the lice? Okay, I'll do it. So when your kids get into their teen years, all they're going to want to do is get piercings and dye their hair. They see their friends doing it, and that's all they want to do. So my daughter's middle school did not allow the kids to dye their hair any unnatural color, but I told her that she could do it for the summer, and she wanted to dye her hair blue. I was fine with it. I've always been fine with how my daughter wanted to express herself. Of course, she would have to adhere to the school dress code. Actually, that's not true. Okay, the dress code was stupid. Like, you weren't allowed to have any ripped jeans, but some jeans do have tiny rips in them for design effect. And if Madison wanted to wear jeans with a rip, I told her she could, but just be prepared to have to change. But that's not it. That's not really what I'm referring to. The worst dress code violation happened on scheduling day, which is the day where everyone picks up their schedules and conveniently takes the photo for their school ID and for the yearbook. I think Madison had gotten like blonde balayage in her hair over the summer, and it had faded out a little bit over the months. And we were at school and we were waiting in line to take her picture. And one of the administrators of the school pulled us out of the line and said that her hair was out of dress code and that her hair would have to be her natural color before she could take her school picture. I don't remember what I said, but I was thinking, are you fucking kidding me, dude? Blonde is a natural hair color and it's all grown out and faded out. I was fucking pissed. So we had to go to the salon like that day or the next day to get her damn hair dyed so she could attend school and take her school photo. That was back in 2019. My daughter is real chapped because the year after she left was the year that the school made a major change to the dress code. I think now the dress code is totally gender neutral and essentially allows for kids to wear athleisure now. When Madison attended school, the kids had to wear actual pants to school every day, which she hated. I'm all for a lax dress code. I'm at my best when I'm comfortable. As long as all the bits are covered up, who gives a fuck? So, since my daughter's school would not allow her to even have blonde hair, she wanted to rebel and have blue hair. Also, one of her good friends had purple hair, so you know how it is in high school. If your friends are doing it, you want to do it. I don't remember how I found the salon, but I took her to a salon in New Orleans. So anyone out there who has brown hair and wants to go to blue knows that you have to bleach your brown hair first and then dye it blue over the blonde. Well, this takes a long ass time. But I didn't mind because my daughter was really happy with it and was excited to finally be expressing herself based on a choice that she made. That's the things with kids. You can't be too strict with them. They will rebel. I remember I was in Athleta one time and I was in the dressing room and overheard a mother and daughter talking. The daughter was a little younger than my daughter. Athleta has women and girl clothing, and the girl wanted to get a top. And the mom goes, "You know how I feel about crop tops." And the girl was so sad. I thought to myself, lady, pick your battles. Also, maybe you shouldn't impose your bullshit feelings on your child. What's wrong with a crop top? You're in Athleta, bitch, not Fredericks of Hollywood. I bet that girl snuck out on the weekend, went to her friend's house, and wore a fucking crop top like the badass she is. Let your kids figure out who they are while you still have the opportunity to guide them. Don't be so restrictive that they're gonna go nuts whenever they leave you. Okay, back to the story. So we get the blue hair, and Madison loves it. I mean, she is feeling herself. I'm pretty sure she had braces at the time. Those bitches were expensive. But the bands on the braces were blue to match her hair. It was so great. So then a few days later, or maybe even the next day, it was time to bring Madison to summer camp. So me, Madison, and my mom, aka Gigi, drove to camp. And when you get to camp, it's a whole damn process. Your kid has to do a health inspection. You have to make sure you turn in any medication with a camp doctor. And then your kid has to do a lice inspection. Okay, so obviously I understand the need to make sure that no one comes to camp with lice. And I have no objection to a lice check. Now that I'm remembering the story, I'm pretty sure that Madison got her hair dyed blue a day or two before camp. And if I'm remembering this correctly, the colorist told Madison to go a few days without washing her hair so the blue had time to set on the blonde. Because if she washed it out too early, it could be very faded and not really a vibrant blue color. So instead of washing her hair, she was just using dry shampoo. And with dry shampoo, you spray it on straight roots and you comb it through so it's basically like powder that absorbs the oil in your hair. So she's getting her hair checked for lice, and this fucking idiot bitch says that she found a nit in Madison's hair, meaning that Madison was flagged for lice and could not be admitted into camp. Now, these lice people were not associated with the camp, so the feelings I have towards this lice company in no way affect my feelings towards the camp because my daughter spent many summers there and I'm very grateful for it. However, I was not pleased with this lice company. So Madison was flagged for lice, and the lice company said that in order for Madison to enter camp, she had to have a treatment on her hair that cost like $150. I was like, what kind of racket is this? They said, well, you can drive to the nearest Walgreens and go home and shampoo yourself and then get a doctor's note saying that Madison doesn't have lice. I was like, bitch, we just drove 3 hours to get here and we are in the middle of nowhere. The closest place to get shampoo is like 30 minutes away. And then we're going to drive all the way back home to New Orleans and then come all the way back? I don't fucking think so. It's unusual that Gigi and I lose our cool at the same time, but we both went fucking off on the lice company people. And that was pre-therapy, so I was really going off at that time. After we were done huffing and puffing, I realized that the only way for Madison to be allowed into camp is to move forward with this head treatment. Needless to say, the treatment stripped the blue out of Madison's hair, so the hair ended up costing me like $300 altogether, and instead of blue, Madison's hair was now blonde. Looking back, I wish I wouldn't have gotten so mad at the lice company because all it did was upset me and upset my daughter. And I had to go forward with the treatment anyways. So yeah, moral of the story, kids are expensive. So we need to learn how to invest money. Okay, moving on. Y'all, I feel like we have reached an unprecedented space and time where there is a plethora of fantastic music out there for consuming. It's like there's a new drop every day, and I can barely fucking keep up. The rap beef that's been going on, too many people have entered the chat, and I honestly just can't fucking keep up now. Taylor Swift recently dropped her album, The Tortured Poets Department, and then she surprised everyone and dropped another 15 tracks. I listened to all 30 tracks. There were several songs that I liked a lot. Wait, first I have to say that people are loving that Post Malone was on both Beyoncé's album and Taylor Swift's album. The song on Taylor's album, though, is called Fortnite, and I swear when I first started listening to it, I thought she said Fartnite in the song, and I had to go back and check the title. Not Fartnite. Okay, I really like the songs Down Bad, So Long London, Florida, The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and Thank You, Amy, which people are saying is about Kim Kardashian, which is kind of fucking hilarious. Generally, I like the album. I think it's consistent with what she's done in the past. I think she's a good songwriter. The only critique I have is that the album itself does not feel like a body of work. That's what a lot of people do now. They put all these tracks on an album without considering the album as a whole. And even though it's not my preference, I really respect what Taylor Swift has done. And her music really resonates deeply with her fans, so she must be doing something right. I saw a quote the other day that said, "The only thing in life you can control is the music you listen to." Now, obviously, we have a tad more control than that. For instance, we have complete control over our attitude and effort, even if it doesn't feel like it. But I never realized that music is something that we have complete and utter control over. And it's so unique and individual to each person. For instance, I'm a repeat listener. When I find something I like, I listen to it over and over and over again. I have been told that I am obsessed with Beyoncé, and I kind of am. Not in an unhealthy way, but in a way that her music literally feeds my soul. Also, her music got me through some really, really tough times. And it has always been there for me. Even when I felt like I had no one else, I had that music that I could listen to. So yeah, I like the bitch a lot. I mean, there's so many reasons why, but the main reason is how her music has helped me personally. Okay, y'all. The moment you've been waiting for has arrived. It's time for me to answer your burning questions on this next segment. For those of you who don't know, my friends call me Linda. And I am here to listen to you in a little segment we like to call Listen, Linda. Now, one of the questions is a little political in nature, so I will save it for the end and I will give you all a heads up so you can jump off because I know that's not everyone's jam. But let's fucking go. Okay, this first question comes from Miranda in Birmingham, Alabama. She writes, "Listen, Linda, how do you stay so motivated and productive working from home? And how do you stay motivated and productive after making your career change?" Ooh, a two-parter. Okay, Miranda. Well, my answer may be a tad verbose. There's layers to this shit. So I feel like a long time ago, I discovered my sweet spot of the day where I am the most productive. I have found that I am most productive from about 6:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. I know this about myself and I use it to my advantage. Like, I am not a night owl at all. At 8:30 p.m. bedtime for me all day, baby. Going to bed early is one of my favorite things to do. There is nothing more satisfying to me than getting in bed early in some really cozy, silky pajamas. Because it's like the silk material stays cool and it feels so nice against your skin. And then you have the cold, clean sheets as well. And then I have this like velvety green quilt, which you would think would be hot, but it's very thin and breathable. This is optimal coziness. And I get in bed and I wiggle at how cozy I am. So I just had a mini flashback to a high school spring break trip. Okay, so I had my daughter in high school, but I still tried to have somewhat of a high school experience, and I'm very grateful for my parents for doing that. But even though I tried to have the same experience as other people, I wasn't the same as other people. And this is a good example of that. I remember going on spring break one year with like a big group of people. And I think it was the first night, but I was so tired at like 11 p.m. and I went to bed. Well, some turds made fun of me because I went to bed so early. And I remember crying, being like, "Y'all have no idea how tired I am. Going to bed is my vacation." Ah, drama. But I bet those same people understand what I'm talking about now. Because I know y'all got kids. But yes, Miranda, knowing myself and when I work best is how I stay productive. I also signed up for various classes to keep me on some kind of a schedule. I also have gotten better about not agonizing about a task and actually just leaning into what I don't want to do first. And that has actually proven to be quite productive as well. Miranda is like, "Bitch, you didn't do your spending audit for like 4 weeks. I know, Miranda. I know. But, bitch, I'm a work in progress. And another thing that I have implemented, which I think I've talked about before, is recognizing that any progress is a win and that perfection is fiction. Shit, I just made that up. I'm writing that one down for sure. Give me a pen. Bitch, that's genius. Okay. As far as motivation, I feel like that's very unique to each individual. My motivation is very personal, but I will share it with you anyways. There is a little inner child, Lindsay, that deserves more. I owe a lot to that little Lindsay for getting us through a lot of bullshit and a lot of struggle. I owe it to her to see how far my potential will take me in life. I owe it to her to see how far my capabilities actually reach. I owe it to her to create a beautiful fucking life for all the years of shit that she had to endure. Okay, let's take the serious notch down a few clicks. Miranda, I also find motivation throughout my day by giving myself a little snack or some treats. If I'm being completely candid, almost all the treats are food related. I'll be like, if I write 3 pages of my podcast outline, I can have cookies and cream Greek yogurt bar made by Yasso. I also will rotate in a frozen banana dipped in chocolate made by a company called Totally Bananas. I am not being paid to promote these products, but I would totally be down. Hit me up, Yasso and Totally Bananas. You can get both of these at Whole Foods. Okay, on to the next one. This one is from Tabitha in Tallahassee. Tabitha in Tallahassee, hey girl. Tabitha writes, listen, Linda, do you have any tips or tricks on how to get out of a panic attack? Why, yes. Yes, I do. Folks, I've been plagued with panic attacks my whole life. I finally got a hold of them in the past year, but I don't think I'll ever be free from them. So, I don't know if this is clinical, but to me, a panic attack usually starts out as an anxiety attack that works its way into a full-blown panic attack. Even if you're aware you're having a panic attack, it is very hard to get out of it. I have yet to find something that will instantly pull you out of it, but I have found some tricks that can help. The first trick that I read somewhere is that you should do something physical to begin to disrupt the mental spiral. That could be going for a walk, breath work, or sometimes I clean. It's physical and it's productive. Another trick that has helped me in the past is to change your environment. Sometimes just switching up the scenery can help. Another thing about environment, if you have a messy space, it's going to affect your mind. So try and keep it tidy. Another trick that I've used is to put ice cold water or ice cold air on your face. I remember when I was in New York City in December, I woke up in a really bad panic attack, but I had to go to this workshop. It was in the 20s outside, so I just opened up the window and I stuck my face out, and that really helped. Another thing that I just did this morning on my walk was orient myself to the present. So instead of focusing on the thoughts that I had in my head, I started focusing on what was in my physical presence. Because even though I feel like the world is ending in my head, if I focus on the physical environment around me, I can remind myself that I'm not in any actual danger. That's a little easier said than done, but it works. So this morning on my walk, I just started to feel a wave of anxiety. And I thought to myself, what the fuck is this? Why the fuck am I feeling this? And it didn't really matter why I was feeling it, but I was feeling it. And it started to come on stronger. And I kept saying, oh, hell no. And then I said out loud, nothing matters but this walk. And I started to focus on what was around me. I see a store. I see a man. I see a dog. I basically was playing I spy with myself. Throughout the rest of the walk, any time I would feel my mind start to fall into anxious thoughts, I would say out loud, nothing matters but this walk, and start pointing out more things. Hope that helps. Thank you, Tabitha. Okay, let's do the last one. This last one is a little political, so if that's not your jam and you don't want to hear about it, you're welcome to drop off now, and I will see you next episode, ho. Okay, let's continue. This last question comes from Naomi in Atlanta. She writes, "Listen, Linda, can you please explain why the United States wants to ban TikTok?" Well, once again, the U.S. is legislating stuff that no one wants or no one is really complaining about. I mean, could y'all try legislating on an issue that really needs attention for fucking once in y'all's life? TikTok aside, I'm about damn sick of this. In fact, I just saw an article that California wants to ban the company Clear that allows you to pay to go quickly through TSA at the airport. And it's a bipartisan bill, meaning that it's backed by both parties. Those supporting the bill say that Clear lets wealthier people skip in front of passengers who have been waiting to be screened by TSA, and this is unfair and inequitable. Bitch, life and capitalism is unfair and inequitable. What the fuck? They continued, "It becomes a have versus have-nots, where those who can afford it jump in line in front of the rest of us. They even cut in front of TSA pre-check boarding passengers who have been waiting to be screened by TSA. I am not a Clear customer, but I am a TSA pre-check ho. And yes, it does bother me when the Clear people get to go in front of me, but not to the point that I'm like, hey, they shouldn't be allowed to do it this at all. I looked it up and it costs $189 a year to have Clear. Now, this is definitely cheaper than TSA PreCheck, which is $85 for 5 years, but I didn't realize that $189 a year meant that you were wealthy. I feel like this is a fucking joke. Y'all just won't legislate on anything real, will y'all? It's a fucking disgraceful, honestly, trying to ban Clear. Get the fuck out of here with all of these bans and just let us live. Okay, back to Naomi's question regarding TikTok. So, politicians have not been a fan of TikTok for years now. I'm going to guess that the reason cited by Congress is not the real reason that Congress wants to ban TikTok. The reason Congress gave is that the company has ties to China. According to Congress, TikTok threatens national security because the Chinese government could use it to spy on Americans or weaponize it to covertly influence the U.S. public by amplifying or suppressing certain content. The concern is warranted, U.S. officials say, because Chinese national security laws require organizations to cooperate with intelligence gathering. The FBI director told members of Congress in March that the Chinese government could compromise Americans' devices through the software. I understand the concern, but what evidence does the U.S. have that the company is required to adhere to Chinese national security laws? I read that the parent company is located in China, but that doesn't seem to be very compelling. Also, is this the only Chinese company that has personal information of U.S. citizens? I don't think it is. A quick little Google search showed that there are major companies based in China that also operate in the U.S. and have U.S. citizens as customers and clients. So I guess my next question, is Congress going to ban all these other Chinese corporations? Also, as far as TikTok using the platform to influence U.S. citizens, it doesn't matter if the company is a U.S. company or a foreign company, because Facebook, which is a U.S. company, had Russia use the platform to interfere with our elections. So I don't see how this is making any sense. It's weird, and I bet we won't know the real answer. It's weird because it's a bipartisan bill, which means both parties support it. So it makes me wonder, why does all of Congress, who can never agree on a damn thing, suddenly agree on this issue? My conspiracy theory brain turned on and I was thinking that they wanted to ban TikTok because of the upcoming election. But when I read up on the ban, TikTok has 9 months to find a buyer for the company. And then the president of the United States can extend the deadline for another 90 days. So in the event there is no sale, the soonest that TikTok could be shut down in the US would be more than a year from now. So it looks like we will have TikTok during the election. Yay. I looked it up and there is no other country in the world that has banned TikTok recreationally from its citizens. Several countries like France, Canada, and the UK have banned TikTok and other recreational apps on phones of government officials. The only other outright ban of TikTok that I could find was from India. So yeah, we will just fucking see. I'm so confused though. Like, what are the rules? Because the CEO is from Singapore, which is not China. Now, I realize that the parent company is made up of majority Chinese investors, but that must be true for so many other companies in the US, like major fucking companies. So why single out TikTok? TikTok plans to fight the ban in court. This is just like the United States to enact a law that will spend so much time in litigation and expend so many resources. It would be nice, though, if people got their news from somewhere other than TikTok. It's just not reliable. It's produced with lighting, with music, with angles, like it's trying to make you feel a certain way. So don't play into it. Thank you, Naomi. That was a good question. You want to know what I want out of this next election? Congressional term limits. I honestly do not care who wins this election. I just want congressional term limits. I am sick of seeing the same faces run our country into the ground. Let's get some fresh meat in there. I think term limits need to be enacted before the TikTok ban goes into effect. You know, we elect these people and they just end up doing whatever the fuck they want. They never address any real issues. Never looking to do the hard work. Oh, let's do another abortion ban, even though abortion and teen pregnancies are at an all-time low. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Y'all are wasting tax money making these unnecessary laws. I don't give a shit about who is president. I've lived under both. These two old-ass men aren't going to have a profound impact on my life. I won't allow it. I give a shit about congressional term limits and disrupting this cycle of fuckery. I think term limits can unify us, but we have to make them do this. I mean, Donald Trump really sold people on the platform that he would, quote unquote, drain the swamp in 2016, and he did nothing of the sort. He is the swamp king now, and Joe Biden isn't any better. We have to hold these politicians accountable because they clearly aren't going to do something that is not in their interest. I don't even want to talk about any other political issue other than congressional term limits. Every conversation needs to be redirected back to term limits. Term limits for president. And I'm talking about congressional term limits. Let's just have them follow the presidential term limits. 8 years. You have 8 years to make a difference. Have at it. I am sick of all these fuckers getting rich and neglecting the hell out of our country. Woo! Are y'all still with me? I have a plan for this election. I think the American people should do a little poll and we should vote or identify the top five issues that we would like our candidates to address during their presidency. And then the presidential candidates give us a plan for each issue. These people have way too much leeway. There needs to be more checks and balances. And I feel like that starts with term limits. That's a wrap for this episode, y'all. Be sure to follow me on social media at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at the Rich Room Podcast. And if you're feeling a little extra giving, please go follow my account at LP Rich Bitch on Instagram. Love y'all. Bye.